Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. I'm glad you could join me tonight. Tonight is Wednesday, so we should be hearing from Israel Kaplan, the gentleman that organized Bullies to Buddies, a wonderful website. I hope those of you who are listening have been to the website and seen some of the opportunities to get some of his self-help books and some of the other things that he's put together that will help your school or help you as individuals. I also want to mention that I have some good news to share with everybody. For those of you who know my family, my husband had heart failure last May, and we were at the doctor's yesterday. And he, his heart was at 35%, which is pretty bad. And this was last May. And the doctors told us that it was very little chance of getting it any better. Well, they don't know what a bull he can be, because he actually has got 65% now use of his heart, which was a great surprise to us. And a welcome diagnosis. So I wanted to share that with everybody, because a lot of people knew how sick he got and how worried I was about him. So it just goes to show you that you can overcome lots of things. Now, I want to tell a story that I'm hoping to discuss with Izzy this evening. I see Shelley has joined us, so I'm going to bring her in. Hi, Shelley. How are you, honey?
Hey, Reen. I just got in. I couldn't get an antenna until just this very second, so I don't know how you started the show.
Well, I just shared with everybody that Spike's heart is back up to 65%, and for all of those people that knew how sick he got last May, and he had
all
a
right.
new
Excellent.
Echocardiogram. Yep, they really didn't believe that was going to happen, because he's almost 70 years old, but they were shocked to find out that it's back up to 65%, which is normal. So,
that's
and the other thing,
good
news, yeah. Izzy should be joining us tonight, but I have some things that I'm going to talk to him about. But one of the things that I came across today when I was researching is a story about a young girl who committed suicide. And I will be telling that story and then asking Izzy how he thinks, along with all the other information he's given us, we can actually handle something like that. Because I see what's happening in a lot of cases is parents are suing schools, and a lot of times the actual act, the abusiveness that takes place with some of these young people is off school grounds. So there's a lot of controversy over whether or not the school should be liable. And in one of the cases that I read about today, they feel there's some liability that lies with the school, because bullying had been reported to the school about the same group of kids. Izzy is here. I'm going to bring him in, because we always run over when he's with us. Hi, Izzy. Welcome back.
Hi, Renee. It's a pleasure to be back.
Thank you. Thank you. I had a wonderful conversation with your wife, Miriam, today. She sounds just as nice as you do.
She's nicer than me.
What a smart thing for a good husband to say. We talked, and I told her, and I haven't talked to Shelley about this, but I've had some problems trying to figure out what venue to have this event that I'd like to have here in South Florida. And I'm finding that through the summer months, most of our county parks are taken up by the local football teams on weekends. So I'm actually considering waiting until the fall, when it's a little bit cooler, and perhaps using the farm of a very good friend, somebody that I've worked with who does a lot of work with autistic kids, and she has a horse rescue. She has lots of horses that she's brought in and ponies, and she and I did some pony therapy with young kids a couple summers ago. That was really nice and a lot of fun. And she has a very huge property and an extra house that we could even use for some of the lectures and stuff like that. So I mentioned it to your wife, and she says, where are you? And I said, we're in West Palm Beach. And I said, you and Izzy should come and have a booth and be able to talk and be able to share all your knowledge with everybody. It's a good time for a vacation. So you might be looking at making a trip here in the fall, Izzy. I may have already set that up for you.
Okay. I just have to check with my schedule so I can make it. Can you tell me more about the event that you're planning?
Well, we started out by talking to Gary, who you've spoken to on the phone, and he's the gentleman that's had a lot to do with spreading the word about the Bully movie. And the producers and the people that put the Bully movie together would like people to start having some events so that they can share their story. And I would love to do that because I believe the more communication there is, the better things are going to get. It's when things stay in small circles that nothing ever changes. So what we're doing on the radio show alone, I think, is helping. I got some this weekend. I got lots of phone calls. I hope I helped a couple people. I think we're headed in the right direction. So what we will do is we'll bring people in, like yourself, like the people from the Bully movie, like some of the parents that have already gone through this. We'll have some speakers. We'll have some booths where people can show some of the things that will support a healthier, a more well lifestyle, which, of course, doesn't just, you know, one of the lectures that I give is about our nourishment and the fact that nourishment doesn't just come from food. It comes from everything we take in, which can often mean words and actions. So I believe we can create a much healthier lifestyle for everybody with all of those things being presented at one time.
Do you have a name for the event?
Do I have a what for the event?
A name. Title for the event.
Well, actually, we've talked about two or three titles. We didn't really want to use the word bully because we kind of feel the same way about the word bully that you do. You've expressed that on the show before, and Shelley and I are in agreement because bully conjures up a specific memory of somebody who's big and lumbering and thumps on the tops of all the little kids' heads, and that's actually not what's happening. Sometimes the bully is a beautiful little 13-year-old girl. So we're trying to get away from those words. We've thought of a few things, but we are open. We're going to start having meetings this week with some of the people that I know would like to be involved, and as it spins a little bit, then we'll bring you in and we can do some conference calls and let you help us build this and put this together. Are you good with that?
Sure.
Okay. So we will talk about a name, though, because Shelley and I both decided we didn't want to because if it's just about bullies, people who don't think that involves them, they won't want to be there. So it has to be a little bit more encompassing than that about having a happy, well-adjusted life, which is about lots of things. So I have a couple questions that I wanted you to touch base on tonight, but one of the things that I researched today was a story, and I'm going to tell a little bit about that, and then I'm going to ask you my questions about it. And I think you and I have touched on this briefly, but I think we could talk about it a little bit more. I read a story about a young girl who, with all of her supposed friends, went to a party on a weekend. And she drank too much, and some boys took her in a bedroom, and they accosted her, and they also wrote obscenities on her body. They took all of her clothes off of her. She was passed out in the bed. They took pictures of her and put it on Facebook. And The parents, of course, were beside themselves. The girl was, you know, ashamed and hurt and all of the things that go with something like that happening to you. The parents had already reported to that school where all the kids went to school together that she was being picked on and bullied. So then when this happened, obviously there were, you know, police were involved because it was off school property and it was in a private place, and the parents, you know, turned in the kids. The young girl ended up taking her own life. And now the parents are pursuing, suing, I guess, the school. And we talked about that a little bit. But how far do you think the school should be responsible for something that happens off school grounds? I think they're in is because they had reported the bullying at the school and nothing was done about it. So I think they believe in their hearts, of course they're grieving, but I think they believe in their hearts that it snowballed because nothing was done at school. So would you like to, for closure, a lot of time parents need to blame somebody, and we all get that, but what do you think should happen here, Izzy?
To hold the school responsible for what these kids did to the girl is immoral. It's a violation of the golden rule. Let's say you have a company or something, and you have workers. Do you now become responsible for everything they do 24 hours a day? Would you want to be sued because your workers committed a crime? It's immoral to hold the school responsible. If the school caused it to happen, it's another matter. If the school staff told students, you have to rape that girl, of course you sue the school. But the school didn't make it happen. It's immoral to sue the school for it. Sue the children who did it. Sue the parents of the children, but not the school. If schools are going to be sued for everything that children do 24 hours a day, they're going to go bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, the citizens
mm-hmm.
are going to go bankrupt because the citizens, the taxpayers pay the bill. But it's immoral to hold the school responsible for what the kids did.
Mm-hmm.
Sue the kids, sue the parents of the children.
Well, but in the world that we live in, if somebody gets hurt in a, if a bunch of people attack somebody, well, I'm going to use my grandson's scenario. It will eventually happen that the property that he was on will be sued. So we all know how this works. So I like the word you use when you say immoral, because you always make things, when you talk about something, you have a way of making things very personal. For me, the word moral or immoral are very personal. And they're about personal ethics and what you really believe in. So I would agree with you, myself. I would agree that I probably wouldn't do that, or I wouldn't want to. A lawyer would want to and think I was nuts for not wanting to. We all know that. So how far, though, if you know, Izzy, that the school had been told that these kids were picking on her and they made no attempt to help this family in any way, shape, or form. I understand you're talking about your game plan. I get what you want to do. I get it heart and soul. You want this, in the perfect world, this young girl would have walked up and she would have confronted these people that were picking on her, and she would have said, you know, are you mad at me? What did I do to you? She would have turned it around. Beautiful scenario, but that didn't happen. And until we get enough information out there so that people know that is the way to go from the get-go, it isn't going to happen. So this scenario, again,
in an ideal world, there would be somebody in the school teaching children how to deal with social problems. And if they do a good job of teaching children how to deal with social problems, then they would have a better idea of what to do when something like this happens.
Okay. So So from your point of view, how are we going to make that happen? Say I've already talked to one of the principals over here at one of the middle schools, and I've told him what I'm trying to do, and he wants to help, but of course in some scenarios his hands are tied because of the politics involved. But he does want to help and he wants to make a difference. So what's my best avenue to say to him, let me get you some written material that you can read and see if you can put this into action? Is that what you would do if you were here in Florida and that school came to you or you had the opportunity to talk to them? Is that what you'd do?
Yeah, I would tell them that it costs nothing to teach children to cope better because the staff to do it already exists. Every school has a counselor. And even if it doesn't, a teacher can be trained how to do this. And they can go from class to class and teach these lessons to children. Now, I forgot to say something before. You said about this case with the girl who committed suicide. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the case in British Columbia, in Canada?
Yeah, I believe so. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's in Canada. It's in all the news. But you said that
yeah.
The parents told the school about it, and the school did nothing about it. You will see.
Yeah, that's what I read today.
Yeah, in every case in which a child committed suicide or was being bullied terribly or they sued the school, the parents claim that they told the school about it and the school did nothing. But if you talk to the school administration, they'll say, we did something about it. But what happens is what the schools do doesn't work, often makes the problem worse. So the assumption is, well, if the kid is continuing to be bullied or commit suicide, it means the school did nothing about it. But it's rarely that way. Very few schools will do nothing about a complaint of bullying today. But what they do doesn't work. So then the parents say the school did nothing about it. And it's rarely true. The schools insist we do something about it. It's just what the schools do doesn't work. Schools can't force children to all be nice to each other. It's not in their ability to do that.
Right. What about suspending a kid or telling the kid they have to go to another school or expelling them? I mean, you know, there are set rules that would, if somebody's really in jeopardy, where a child can be removed from a school and told that they can't come back if they've misbehaved to that degree. Again, it's not my cup of tea either, but that can be done, right?
The school has to have effective discipline. There has to be discipline, but not all disciplinary actions are effective. Some disciplinary actions are counterproductive. On my website, I have what I call a rational, moral school bullying policy based on the golden rule. And there are principles for moral discipline. And moral discipline means effective discipline. So children should be punished for doing certain things. You have to know when to punish them and how to punish them because not every punishment is equally effective. Some punishments make things worse. But, of course, there has to be discipline. But one of the rules in discipline should be that the punishment fits the crime. Suspension rarely fits the crime. It has nothing to do with the crime. It's not very effective. So effective punishment, one of the components it has to have is restitution. If I hurt you, I have to make it up to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if I hurt you and I get suspended, am I making restitution to you? Is there any relationship
to...
There's no relationship. It's very ineffective. It's the same thing with prison. Prison has nothing to do with the crime. Prison is very ineffective punishment, and it's not moral punishment. In the Bible, you know, the Old Testament deals a lot with crime and punishment. There's no such thing as prison time as a punishment in the Bible.
Right.
But it's not a moral punishment. It has nothing to do with the crime.
Well, it's more eye for eye, a tooth for a tooth in the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth really means is you have to make monetary restitution. Thousands of years ago, the rabbis interpreted this to mean that you have to make monetary restitution. So if I take out your eye, you don't really take out my eye. It doesn't make restitution to you. It just leaves two blind people. So I have to pay you for your damages, for lost labor, for pain, for medical bills. I have to pay back for the damage I did to you. So that's really what an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth means. You have to make monetary restitution for the damage.
So that's a lawsuit, is he?
Oh, yeah. Every civilized society has to have a court system and a system of punishments.
So in order to do that, though, I mean, that's kind of a convoluted can of worms. If we're talking about, you know, saying, yeah, you're going to have to sue the parents, not the school, right? You don't think the school should take responsibility if a child misbehaves. And, of course, we also made a differentiation a couple of weeks ago.
It depends on what the kid did. I'm not sure what kind of action you're talking about.
Well,
some things the school should be responsible for. Some things the school should discipline children for. But if I injure you outside of school hours or if I rape you, why is the school responsible? You should sue me, not the school.
Well, because I think the mindset is because you came to the school because that's who you trust and because that's where you think you're supposed to go. And if the school didn't do anything about it or didn't do anything effective enough, then it snowballed into something different. I can certainly see the other side of that story. Not that, you know, I agree with what you're saying. And again, you know, I almost always do, but I still can understand being in those other people's shoes. So if I came to you and say we're at the event and I'm at your booth and somebody that you have working for you in your booth, when I walk by them, they trip me. They just think that was funny to see some old lady trip, right? And I come back and I say, I'm okay, Izzy, but the kid that you got working for you tripped me and he thought it was funny. So you go over and say, don't do that again or I'm going to not let you work here anymore. And then at the end of the day, right? But then at the end of the day, go ahead, what'd you say?
No, go on. At the end of the day.
Okay, so then at the end of the day, we're closing up shop and we're leaving the event, and this kid walks up to me and says, you know, you almost got me fired today just for a little prank. You know, that's ridiculous. And as I walk away, he hits me in the back of the head with a 2x4. So who am I going to go after? Obviously, I'm going to go after the kid and his parents or whatever the scenario is there. But I'm also going to go to you because I told you what that kid did to me and you let him stay all day.
No, because if I'm paying somebody to work for me, I'm responsible for what he does. I'm paying him, and he did this on working hours.
Okay, so that's different. Okay, so that's different.
But if I hire a kid to work in my booth, and then in the middle of the night he goes to your house and robs you, am I responsible? Because I hired him in the daytime.
Well, if he singled me out to pick on me, and I told you something about it, and you know, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that.
I don't know that it's right or wrong.
Absolutely, Shel.
Let me interject something, because I'm listening to both of you, and believe it or not, you're both pretty much saying the same things, but you're going with different specifics. The bottom line, from my point of view, the bottom line is this. If you tell somebody something specific, whether it be telling the school that these kids are picking on your child, or you've told the owner of a company that an employee of theirs is doing something, then the end result for you to be able to come back and morally, because I like that word also, morally then hold them accountable, the act that was perpetrated then has to have some connection to that original complaint. The fact that these boys accosted her sexually is probably out of the realm of what they were doing to her in school. It escalated. She has to have some responsibility in that, and because I think you said she got drunk, correct?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Right. Okay. So she was. Who knows how she was acting? I mean, when you get drunk, you act in a way that you wouldn't when you're not drunk. So she was not in control of her surroundings to begin with. And I'm not blaming the victim, but I'm just saying, when you put yourself in that position, you are making yourself vulnerable. So there is some responsibility on her part and on her family's part, and to hold those boys 100% responsible for the end result is not appropriate. There is some responsibility on her part as well, okay? But when you're talking about that boy who tripped you, okay, and if Izzy told him, okay, well, look, you know, if you do that again, I'm going to have to dismiss you, and then he takes it another step, well, Izzy did the appropriate thing. But from a legal standpoint, because he's his employee from an insurance and all that, you do have the ability to sue Izzy, and he is responsible because of the way the laws are with employees and staff and companies and stuff. So you're really not comparing apples to apples here. The school does not have the jurisdiction to follow these boys outside of the school. Now, if they had done that to the girl on the school campus, then it'd be a different story because the school grounds have to be safe. But if this was something that happened outside of school at a party, I don't see how they can hold the school responsible at all because it's not in the realm of what the original complaint was, and it wasn't even on the school grounds. This was a party. She saw those boys were there and chose not to leave the party. Think about that. So people also have to take responsibility for their own safety. If there's somebody that's been picking on you, and you're not going to use one of, like what Izzy says, go up there and defuse the situation and just kind of confront them but in a friendly way, all right, if you're not going to take control of the situation, then leave. She had the choice to leave before anything happened.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I won't interrupt.
I just want to say that I don't want to victimize the victim in any way, shape, or form in this venue. And of course, everything you're saying is valid, Shell, but I don't want to do that because I don't have enough information so that we can make comments about that. But I do see what I did wrong when I tried to come up with another scenario. I used employer scenario, and that was wrong because it does put a different kind of spin on everything. I guess I'm still talking about responsibility, and there's something in the word school and education and everything that our schools stand for today that from, I know Izzy gets, he kind of laughs at me a little bit because I'm still in search of the perfect world, and he's assured me I'm probably not going to find that. But if I quit looking, I never will.
Renee, I'm also in favor of finding a perfect world, and I'm trying to create a perfect world. Now, a completely perfect world is impossible, but a better world is possible. But
yes,
it's only possible if the system is moral, which means it has to make sense. Moral doesn't mean goody-goody. It means it has to be based on true values, and you have to be able to weigh values and decide what the right thing is to do. There are societies in which there's no crime, there's no bullying, but in such societies, people live by the golden rule.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wonderful book I think everybody should read. All of your listeners should read this book for many reasons. There's a wonderful book called Ancient Futures, Learning from Ladakh. Ladakh is spelled L-A-D-A-K-H. It's this area in the Himalayas next to Tibet. The population is about 100,000 people. They've been living the same way of life for the last 2,000 years with no modern technology, and they have no formal government, no police, and there's no crime there. Lately there is because Western culture has encroached upon them. Before the encroachment of Western culture, there was essentially no crime there, no bullying. These people live by the golden rule.
And what's the name of the book again?
Yeah. Ancient what?
Ancient Futures.
Futures.
And the Ancient Futures. And the subtitle is Learning from the Dach. It's a beautiful book. It's easy to read. It's very interesting.
You have this on your website, don't you, Izzy? I mean, the title?
Yes.
I want to get this book.
I don't know if it's on my website. I wrote a blog article in my Psychology Today blog. I may have reprinted it on my website. I'm not 100% sure. But if you look up my Psychology Today blog, you know, put in my name, Psychology Today, and look and Ancient Futures, I'm sure that will pop up.
Okay.
It's a beautiful book.
Well, and, you know, that what we're talking about right now is one of my things, morality, and the fact that we lack today a lot of our morals. I could go on a real soapbox talking about the disrespect of parents and the disrespect of the elderly. All of those things in my book are immoral. The disrespect of your own self, the girls that start experiencing sex when they're 11 years old, and all the kinds of things that are going on in the world today hurt my heart, really hurt my heart, and make me feel like, you know, what is wrong with us? What are we thinking? Now, a lot of people tell me when I say things like that, well, you know, you have to get these kids back in to church. You have to get these kids back into some kind of religion. And I must tell you, some of the kids that I know that about are immersed in religion. Immersed in religion. Mm-hmm. So there has to be another answer. But I love people that have morals, that know it's not nice to say something bad about somebody when their back is turned. All those things to me are about morality. And all those things to me are important. I'm not saying I don't commit any immoral acts, because that would be a lie. I try not to, but I'm sure I have, and I'm sure I will again, because I am human. But I do have tremendous respect I've always been very respectful of Orthodox Jews for that reason, because they are so immersed in their history and their rituals and all the things that they believe in, and they take them, you know, so seriously. For me, that's like awesome. So,
okay.
But I don't know how we're going to put that back out there again. You know, I don't.
I have to say, Rini, that being involved in a religious system isn't a guarantee that everybody's going to act morally. I grew up within Orthodoxy. I go to an Orthodox synagogue, and I guarantee you that not everybody who looks to all this religious is such a moral person.
Right.
And you can be an atheist and still be a very moral person.
Exactly.
The guideline for morality is the Golden Rule. There was a rabbi a couple of thousand years ago named Hillel, a famous rabbi, and somebody asked him, now please tell me all of the law on one foot, meaning everything, you know, the right thing to do on one foot, meaning in a second. So he said, what is hateful to yourself, don't do to others. Everything else is commentary. So if you want to know if your behavior is moral, you have to ask yourself, would you like to be treated the way you're treating the other person? And if the answer is no, it's probably not moral. If the answer is yes, it probably is moral. So it's not all that hard to figure out what's moral.
Right.
Well, I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah. Some situations are less clear-cut. They're very complex. But most situations are pretty simple. And if you ask yourself, would I want you to do this to me, if the answer is no, then I shouldn't do it to you either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would I want to be raped? No, I shouldn't rape you either.
Yeah.
You know, we spoke before about rape. Rape is a very serious crime. Now, if you're a teenager and you go to a party and you drink too much and you get raped, sure, it was wrong to drink too much, but nobody has a right to rape you just because you drank too much. Rape
exactly.
is rape.
Yes. And you are putting yourself in a place of jeopardy. We don't discount that, but that's still the truth. It's still not okay for them to do anything to you because you're out of it. It's just not okay.
Right,
but Well, my famous saying around here is, if you're going to do something and you picture my face and you look at me to see whether I'm pleased or not pleased, if I'm not pleased, you probably shouldn't be doing it. I've been saying that to my kids since they were little. Not that it's worked a whole lot, I want everybody to know, but I've always said that, and I believe that. I believe that most kids want to please their parents and don't want their parents to know when they've done something wrong. But it should be on a much higher level, and it should be what you just said. And I say that to the six-year-old that lives here. You know, he does something mean, and I say, gosh, would you want, you know, me to do that to you? No. I said, well, then why did you do it to me? Or why did you do it to Emily? Or whatever he does. So I get all that. And I've said it more times than I can count to different people, adults and children. But for some reason, I think the biggest answer is people, if they really think about it for a few minutes, Izzy, they look at you and say, somebody's already done that to me, Rini. It's been done to me lots of times. So then that supposedly makes it okay.
Yeah, but then you ask them, did you like them doing it to you?
Well, I've said that.
Yeah.
So rethink it. And for me, those things are just the way they should be, and I agree with you. Are you sure you and I didn't? Maybe I was Jewish in another life or something, because I so get all this kind of stuff. I want to ask you. Go ahead.
I lost both of you. All philosophical and moral traditions boil down to the golden rule.
Right.
They all recognize the golden rule. So just the basic rule for morality, you don't have to be a genius to understand that the golden rule is the ultimate rule of morality. So we all have this in common. All serious systems, philosophy, and religion have the golden rule in common.
Maybe that's a good name for the event.
I think so.
Not just the golden
that.
Rule, but something along the line of remember the golden rule, or what happened to the golden rule. The golden rule, if we just say golden rule, we're going to be bombarded with questions. So we may have to put a part of the answer with the golden rule. Let's think about that. But I would love to use the golden rule.
Yeah.
Would that
be
okay with you, Izzy? I mean, because it's kind of your thing. Okay.
Yeah, but I didn't invent the golden rule.
I know. I just mean, I believe in giving, proper respect where it's due, and you certainly do it. So I just wanted to make sure you were good with that. Now,
And
we'll think about if we want to just leave the Golden Rule event or the Golden Rule gathering or something along those lines. We'll all think about this, and maybe we'll come up with an answer in the next couple weeks. But I do think the Golden Rule is what it should be about, because the Golden Rule should encompass everything that I talked about, from how we behave, how we treat ourselves, how we treat others around us, and how we take care of our own physical and mental health, which can come to everything from what we eat to what we say. So it's a big arena. Now, but I do have a couple more questions that bugged me today when some things happened this weekend. How do we convince the victim who believes it's not their job to reform a bully? Because like when I said to somebody, you know, this is what I want you to do, and they looked at me and they said, why is it my job to make him a nice guy? And
no,
I said,
okay,
yeah, right.
Go ahead.
Well, so tell me what you would say to them, because I you know, that's really what I want to know.
Okay, let's act it out.
Okay.
You ask me this.
Okay.
Say you're being bullied and ask me, why is it my responsibility to reform the bully?
Okay. Why is it my responsibility to reform this bully?
It's not.
So then why should I be so kind to him and turn everything around and try to get him to be my buddy?
Do you want him to stop bullying you?
I do.
I'm going to teach you how to get him to stop bullying you.
But then it's like I'm trying to help him and you know, make him a better person after he's hurt me. I don't understand why that's my responsibility.
No, you're not trying to make him a better person. You're trying to get him to stop bullying you.
Okay. That's really the answer right there. That's the nutshell. Instead of
me trying
to make it sound like he's doing something really good, I have to say it's not about that. If he does get better, God bless him. But if he doesn't, it's about leaving you alone in this moment. And that's all you need to think about. So that's what I could say.
That's right. I'm going
right.
to teach you how to stop being victimized. I'm going to empower you. If
mm-hmm.
I make him become nice to you, have I taught you anything?
Well, yeah, I guess you have, but I don't,
but,
you know, this person said to me, I just don't, you know, why do I care if other people like him? That's what they said to me, and I said, well, I guess you don't, but it's not about them, you know, it's about what's happening with you. So I guess I kind of said that, but I didn't put it, maybe I didn't make it clear enough that it's not about him, this is about getting him to leave you alone, and that's what you need. Because this is bothering you, it's more about you than it is about him.
That's right.
Right.
If you're coming to me for help, my concern is you.
Mm-hmm.
And directly it might be the other person, but my direct concern is you. I want you to stop suffering. So I'm
mm-hmm.
going to teach you how to stop suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That's to kind of take ownership
of the results.
Yeah, because I can't solve all of your problems in life. If I go around forcing people to become nice to you, are you going to know how to get along with people?
No.
I'm making you dependent. I'm making you helpless.
Yeah.
Now, the most ridiculous thing to me is when I see these articles saying that we're going to empower children to stop being bullied. And what is the empowerment? We're going to protect you from the bullies. We're going to go after the bullies and make them change. That's
mm-hmm.
not empowering the students. It's disempowering them. It's meaning we're telling the kids, you don't have the power to solve the problem. We're going to solve it for you. So it disempowers children.
Yeah. Well, and I really do get that. But, you know, and I guess what I said was sort of right, but I really needed the words, you know. I even wrote in my notes, obviously, you know, if you turn a situation like that around, the victim's life will reap the biggest rewards. But I needed to know what real words, and I guess that's it. This isn't about him or her. This is about you. You're doing this for you, to put yourself in a better and a safer place. And that's what I didn't say, and that's what I needed to say. Okay, now the other thing that came my way.
Before that, don't be hard on yourself. You're doing a very nice job. You have to realize that my life is all about bullying. It's been this way for decades. So I understand these things and what to say better than you do. So don't be
mm-hmm.
harsh on yourself. You're doing a very nice job.
Well, thank you. I'm giving it the old college try, Izzy.
Yeah, yeah.
So now here's another thing that came to me. What if we come on a potentially two bullies in the same family, and one is the dad and one is the son, and they really, really are hurting each other badly, not so much physically, but certainly mentally. To a point where they both really, really need some professional help. But I don't know what to do for them.
Why are you calling them bullies?
Well, because that's what they think about each other.
Each one thinks that the other one is the bully. But if
yes.
you talk to each one, they'll tell you they're the victim of the other one.
Oh, absolutely. That's what they told me. That's exactly what they said to me.
Yeah. In
exactly.
every relationship in which both sides are angry with each other, each one feels like a victim. So if I treat you like you're a bully, I'm declaring that you're the bad guy. Nobody thinks they're the bad guy. The other one is the bad guy. Your behavior is determined by the way you feel, not what I think of your behavior. Just because I think you're a bully, it doesn't mean your motivation is a bully motivation. Your motivation is victim motivation. You feel victimized, so you're angry at the other person. You want revenge. You want to get them punished. So it's much more, if we think of people as bullies, we won't understand them. People feel like victims, and then you'll understand them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're the father. I have never met an abusive father who said, you know, I'm so happy I have a child to abuse. My life wasn't complete until I had a child. Now I can walk all over them. I'm so happy. The parent says, my child doesn't listen to me. They talk back to me. They don't go to sleep when I tell them to. They don't do their homework. The parent feels like they're a victim of the child. You talk to the child. My parent puts me down all the time. He doesn't give me privileges. He punishes me all the time. So each one feels like a victim. So it's important to realize almost everybody feels like a victim, and their behavior is victim behavior. And then you can help them. You can teach them not to be a victim.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try to tell the person, don't be a bully, they'll say, what are you talking about? I'm not a bully. They're bullying me. So
I've never said exactly that. I don't think that's the kind of terminology I would use, but I would certainly be more, I'd probably be more along the lines of saying, well, you know, you got to quit talking like that. I mean, that's not all right. And I would probably say, obviously, you're very angry. I always try to get people to calm down before I even talk to them at all. And often that takes just a little while for them to unload. The young man I spoke to today, I said, you know, when you're full of garbage and anger and stuff like that, you have to throw it away. And if you don't have anybody else that you can give it to, you can give it to me because I'll just dump it for you. I said, do you leave garbage sitting in your house? And he said, no. And I said, because it really starts to stink up the house, doesn't it? And he goes, yeah. I said, that's what it's doing to you. And he said, nobody wants to listen to me. And I said, well, that's because, you know, it's your garbage. So they're not knowing what to do with it for you, and you're putting it on their plate instead of throwing it out. So he seemed to get that, but he told me things that I can understand why he's upset. I didn't call him a bully, nor did I call anybody else in his family a bully, but I did say that the anger was intense and that they were both, you know, they were both giving out hurtful words and things like that. So I'm hoping that he calls me some more and I can at least calm him down and get him into a better place. So
how is it that you're involved with this young man and father?
I know the mom, and she's been to a whole bunch of places, and she didn't know what else to do, so she called me. That happens to me a lot, Izzy.
Okay. Since you've been involved on the radio?
No, pretty much my whole life.
Okay, so that's the kind of person you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't expect you to know how to be a therapist. You know, you weren't trained for one. And the truth is, even most therapists don't understand or don't really know how to help people, you know, all that well. But this is a tactic I would take. You know, what you're telling the kid is correct. You know, he has this garbage, and it's his garbage. But I would take a different tactic. Let me ask that with you. Let's say you're this kid. And you're complaining to me about how your father treats you. And by the way, it doesn't matter. I can work with the father. I can work with the kid. It doesn't matter. Each one feels like a victim. So let's say you're the kid. Complain to me about how your father treats you.
Well, you know, you don't have any respect for me. If I don't feel good, you say mean things to me.
I'm not the father. I'm going to be the counselor. You're coming to me for help. You're complaining to me about your father.
I gotcha. Okay. My dad talks to me. He doesn't care about me. He thinks I'm a piece of shit. He's told me so. you know, nothing I do is good enough. I called the police on him and everything.
Well, so he's really mean to you.
Yes, he is. He says terrible things to me, like, you know, I should be dead and stuff like that.
Wow, that's really horrible. Now, isn't your father supposed to love you and care about you?
Yes.
Hasn't he?
I don't know why he doesn't.
Yeah, isn't it strange? He's supposed to love you and care about you, and look what terrible things he says to you. Doesn't he know that it upsets you?
I don't think he cares if he upsets me. He likes to upset me.
Yeah, but why? Why would your father want to upset you? What's wrong with him?
Because I don't want to do everything he thinks I should do. He thinks I should be, you know, this and not something else. And I just, you know, I'm almost 18 years old. You know, I should be able to run my own life.
Yeah, so he should be giving you more responsibility. He should be treating you like a young adult. And he treats you like trash. Why doesn't
mm-hmm.
he stop doing it to you? What's wrong with him?
I don't know.
If you want,
he just doesn't care about me.
Okay. Do you want him to treat you better and to care about you more?
I guess so. I don't know.
Okay.
Really.
Yeah, but wouldn't you be happier if he were nicer to you and showed you more respect?
Yeah, I guess I would be.
Okay. I'm going to teach you why he treats you this way, and I'm going to teach you how to get him to treat you better.
Okay.
Now, I want you to make believe you're the father and I'm going to be you. So
okay.
I want you to talk to me the way your father talks to you.
Mm. Okay.
Insult me, say I'm worthless, I'm lazy, whatever. You hate me. Tell me the kinds of things he tells you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wish you were 6 foot under. You're a pain in my ass,
like,
and I can't stand that.
What do you mean I'm a pain in your ass? I'm your son. You're supposed to be nice to me.
I don't have to be nice to you when you act like a little shithead.
I'm not a shithead. Don't call me a shithead.
But that's what you are. You don't do anything around here. You don't listen to your mother. You're mean to your brother and sister. You know,
they're mean to me. They're mean to me. You don't see how they treat me. When I complain to you about them, you take their side against me.
You're older than they are.
Yeah, so they can do anything they want, and you're going to take their side. They treat me like garbage, and they start with me, and then I end up getting in trouble.
Well, you should be in trouble. You shouldn't be having any kind of arguments with them. You should be looking out for them and taking care of them. But, oh, no, not you. You're more important than that.
I'm not their parent. I treat them nice, and they treat me like garbage, and they don't respect
me. You're never nice to them. You're never nice to them. It's all about you.
That is not true. They're so mean to me, and you always believe them because they're younger. Okay, let me stop here. So,
okay,
we're going to stop here. And
okay.
did I make you like me?
No, you just pissed me off more and more and more.
Yeah. So you respect me for my behavior?
No, no.
Did I make you happy that I'm your son?
No, it was very disappointing.
Okay. Now we're going to do it again. You're going to be my father, you're going to call me a shithead and all kinds of stuff, but this time I'm going to treat you differently. Start again. Say
okay.
the worst things in the world to me.
You know, it's too bad you're still here. You know, you should have been gone a long time ago. I don't even know why I tolerate having you here.
Dad, I've really been upsetting you, right?
I don't have one peaceful day because of you. Every day it's something different with you. You're either in trouble in school, or you said something horrible to your mother, or you've hurt one of the little kids. Something every day. Every day you do something.
Yeah, Dad, I don't mean to do it, but I cause a lot of things that make you worry about me and get you upset. I just don't know how to control these things.
Are you doing drugs?
Oh, no. I don't want to do drugs. That's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, then why is your behavior so erratic, and why do you say the things you say, and why are you mean to your mother and to me and to the kids?
I guess you don't really you don't really deserve it. But, you know, from my point of view, it seemed like my brothers have been mean to me, my sister's mean to me, and everybody takes their side against me. And I've been getting angry at you, but I know you don't really deserve it. You work so hard. You provide me with food and clothing and a shelter over my head. I guess you don't deserve the way I treat you.
I don't deserve the way you treat me at all. You have everything you need. Every minute of every day, I make sure you have everything you need.
Yeah, it's true. And I've been getting angry because, you know, my brother and sister bother me, and then I feel Mom isn't always nice to me, and I get mad. But she doesn't really deserve it. Mom also works very hard.
So you understand what you're doing? You do understand what you're doing?
I didn't realize until now, but I went to this counselor, and I was complaining to the counselor about my brother and my sister and my parents. And then the counselor let me know that I haven't been so nice to them either. I was blaming everybody else, and I didn't realize that I haven't been so nice either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel pretty much turned around already, Izzy. I feel like there's something I can do for you.
Yeah.
My instinct now is to help you.
Yeah, because I'm treating you with respect. If you're my father, you need respect from me. You don't need perfection from me. I tell kids that your parents will be happier with you if you disobey them respectfully than if you obey them disrespectfully. Because let's say you're my mother, Renee. Let's say you're my mother. My curfew is 10 o'clock. I can be coming home 10 o'clock every night, and they say, it's so unfair. My friends can come home at 11 o'clock, and you treat me like a baby. You're so unfair. I hate you. So even though I'm coming home at 10 o'clock every night, you're not going to be happy with me. On the other hand, I can come home 10:30, and I'll tell you, oh, Mom, I'm so sorry. I was having such a good time. The time flew by. I didn't realize how late it was. I know you worry about me. I'm so sorry I came home late. I didn't mean to worry you. So even though I'm not coming home at curfew time, you're going to be happier with me because I'm showing you respect.
Yeah.
So
Boy, isn't that true?
Yeah.
It is true. Because it's really all we want. I mean, I say that all the time anyway, the respect that we hold in such high regard is incredibly important to each and every one of us. It amazes me sometimes when I think about it that something, you're right though, you could be an hour late. And if you walked in and said to me, oh my God, I can't believe I'm this late. I hope you're not mad at me. I was having so much fun. I've done it before with my own kids and been all right with it because of the way they walked in the door. So we're almost out of time, though, and as usual, it's been great. Izzy, are you going to start charging me for turning me into a true counselor?
I'll charge you. Well, you owe me.
Okay. All right. That sounds like a deal. I do think that we, actually, to be honest with you, it's wonderful having you on the show, but even Shelley and I have talked about how much we've learned now that we discuss things so openly and all the different things that we hear. There's so much to be said for conversation and communication. And I want to thank both of you again, and I'd like to send some more love to Boston tonight. I heard through the scuttlebutt tonight that they might have caught who did this horrific crime. And we'll send some love to those poor people that are still grief-stricken by what happened. And tomorrow night, we'll be back again. And next Wednesday, Izzy will be with us again. And from my heart to all of yours, good night and God bless. Good night, Shell, and good night, Izzy, and thank you very much.
Okay, good night, Renee. Good night, Shelley.
Good night, everyone.
Okay. Good night. Goodbye.